Dr. James Hansen, acting on behalf of future generations in a constitutional climate change case. The court rejected motions brought by the federal government and the fossil fuel industry seeking to dismiss the case. The judge stated that the government has known for decades that carbon dioxide pollution has been causing catastrophic climate change and has failed to take necessary action to curtail fossil fuel emissions. KBOO's Jenna Yokoyama spoke last Friday with University of Oregon law professor Mary Wood on the legal decision and what's ahead.
Who am I speaking with right now?
So my name is Mary Christina Wood. I'm a law professor at University of Oregon School of Law and faculty director of the school's environmental law program. I'm not involved in the litigation, so just so that you avoid asking questions like that, I can speak to the litigation because I'm an academic. I'm a law professor, and I originated the concept that resulted in this litigation, so it uses my scholarship, but I'm not representing any party in the litigation.
Well, let's just get right to it. What are you speaking about specifically?
Oh, okay. Well, today, the Federal District Court of Oregon issued a landmark order in a climate case that is called Juliana versus United States. And this is a historic order because it requires the government to come back into court and proceed into a trial on the government's climate policy, basically. So this was a case brought by 21 youth plaintiffs. It was part of litigation that is now global litigation orchestrated by the nonprofit organization Our Children's Trust. And the litigation is brought on behalf of youth to force climate action before it's too late, before the world crosses those irrevocable tipping points that lead into irrevocable catastrophe, basically.
Well, this seems really amazing that you have these children who came together. And so how old are these children who brought forth this lawsuit?
Well, the children in this particular case, I think, range from age 7 into the early 20s. So it's children and youth. But again, this case is one of many others. The others were brought in state courts and some in other countries across the world. And the campaign as a whole is called Atmospheric Trust Litigation. But this is, in many ways, the most important case right now because it's a lawsuit against the federal government, against the Obama administration, alleging that the federal government has for years been deliberately indifferent to the danger it is creating for the future of these youth plaintiffs and youth around the world. So in other words, the complaint alleges that the federal government has pursued a fossil fuel policy through permitting all sorts of leasing of oil and gas and coal on federal lands and permitting all sorts of polluting facilities, allowing export projects. Through all these measures, the federal government has pursued a fossil fuel regime, even knowing the catastrophe that awaits the youth of this country if we don't get off fossil fuels very quickly.
So what are they hoping to get out of this lawsuit? What changes are they hoping this will cause?
The youth plaintiffs have asked the court to declare their rights under the Constitution and the Federal Public Trust Doctrine. So just declaring rights sets sidebars for government action. And then they have also asked the court to order government to create a plan to reduce carbon dioxide emissions sufficiently to avoid these catastrophic tipping points. And that plan must be in accordance with the best available science.
Can you tell us a little bit about where the case is right now in the courts?
This case is a federal case brought against the Obama administration and numerous agencies that are involved in fossil fuel policy. And the Obama administration came back with a motion to dismiss, which means it asked the court to just dismiss the case outright, saying that the youth had no viable claims under the law. The fossil fuel industry intervened in the case and was granted intervention status by the court over a month ago. And the fossil fuel companies, too, asked the court to dismiss the case. The court heard oral arguments on those motions about a month ago, and hundreds of people filled the courtroom, filled the streets outside, and in fact, the oral arguments had to be streamed to additional courtrooms and even to the courthouse in Portland. There was so much interest. The court took the motions and oral argument under advisement and just today issued a landmark order that denies the motions to dismiss in all aspects. And that means, that represents a sweeping victory for the youth plaintiffs at this stage in the litigation. And now our Children's Trust, which is the organization that represents the plaintiffs and is organizing this litigation, will go back into court, and the attorneys will go back into court representing the youth, and the government must come back, and the case will proceed ahead into trial, which will involve evidence as to the government's actions on climate. There is an intermediate step where the district court judge here in Eugene will be presented with this magistrate's findings and will have the decision of whether to approve or disapprove them. But assuming the district court approves the findings, then there will be a full-blown trial. And in that trial, evidence will come out, undoubtedly, showing that the government has put the youth of this nation in extreme danger through its fossil fuel policies.
Speaking of these children, why is it that the Obama administration, what was their argument saying that they did not have a claim to these issues?
Well, the children assert both constitutional claims, so constitutional rights, and they also assert a federal public trust claim, which means that they are beneficiaries of the ancient public trust doctrine, which many people think of as rights to the commons, rights to the atmosphere and the waters and so forth. The federal government came back and said the children really don't have standing, that they shouldn't be allowed to appear in court. The Obama administration actually sided with the interveners and said the oil industry has standing to be in court. And so they're on the same side, the Obama administration and the oil companies and fossil fuel companies. But both said the children had no right to be in court because they said that their grievance was generalized and that they didn't have particular harm. And the court in its order said, no, that's not true. While climate change may have the capacity to harm everybody, that these plaintiffs have shown specific injuries that would allow the case to go forward. The government also said that this was a political question that the court shouldn't meddle in or intervene in. It was best left to the other branches of government. And the court, quite predictably and expectedly, I think, said that argument does not hold water when there's constitutional rights at issue. It is certainly the court's duty as the third branch of government to enforce the constitutional rights of the citizens. And then the government and the industry also said that the plaintiffs really did not have any substantive due process right that was threatened by climate action, and that that there was simply no federal public trust. They disclaimed, both the government and the industry, completely disclaimed a federal public trust obligation to the citizens of this country. And that's kind of a shocking position. I think the court brought that out pretty well in one of the questions in oral argument. The court just said, are you saying that the government could basically sell the Pacific shoreline, you know, to a private industry without any sort of restraint from the public trust doctrine? And both the government and industry said, well, basically, yes. So the court rejected that argument and said the federal public trust is one of those traditions and expectations that is lodged in history, and that it does present a claim that should go forward. So on all counts and in all aspects, the motions to dismiss were denied, and thus it represents at this stage, and it's still an early stage in the litigation, but at this stage it does represent a sweeping victory for the youth plaintiffs.
How far do you think this case has the potential to go in the court system?
Well, I think it can go into the remedy stage. The next stage would be the stage of the federal district court judge reviewing the findings of the magistrate judge and assuming that the federal district court judge approves those findings, which would be very expected, I think. Then the next stage would be a trial. And in that trial, there will be experts called by the youth plaintiffs showing just how dangerous a situation the government has created. And they will bring in climate scientists, undoubtedly Dr. James Hansen, who was formerly the chief climate scientist of this country as head of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. And scientists will come in and say how close we are, in their view, to irrevocable tipping points. Now, tipping points, something that many Oregonians understand, and those are nature's own limits, nature's own processes. And if we push beyond those with our carbon dioxide emissions, we literally go into uncontrollable heating, and there's no coming back. It's like falling over a climate cliff. And so I expect that that kind of really shocking evidence will finally see the light of day in a courtroom. It has certainly been in the news, it's been in scientific conferences, but it has not actually been poured over in any legal process because the legislatures and Congress tend to ignore the issue. And that's the whole problem. That's why we're in the position we are today with climate crisis.
So are you saying that there are no legal precedents that set the stage for this case?
Well, there are many legal precedents. When you just get down to the legal principles involved, there are many. Judges enforce constitutional rights all the time. And there are also many public trust cases. The principles underlying this case are not novel or new at all. What is new is the context. And the context is mind-blowing and epic because we're dealing with a situation of climate emergency that has never happened before in human history. And so suddenly a court is thrust into a type of emergency that has been growing and growing over decades, and government has really pushed us into this corner, I think. And so now you have the third branch of government finally ordering scientific evidence and ordering that legal processes take place to see what's really going on. Now, at the end of the day, the court has firmly within its ability the authority to order the government to make a climate recovery plan where it literally plans the reduction of carbon dioxide emissions. And of course, this is something that should have been done decades ago. In fact, a Senate committee ordered EPA decades ago to develop a climate recovery plan, and they did so, and it was ignored. So the remedy in this case is not really earth-shattering. It's kind of typical of a court ordering a plan. But in the context of climate emergency, when every single day counts now, it is a rather historic situation to be in.
We're almost out of time here. So is there anything that you would like to add that I haven't asked you about?
Yeah, this case was brought in the Federal District Court of Oregon, and for many reasons, Oregon remains at the forefront of climate action and also climate awareness. And Oregonians generally understand the severity of the situation, particularly as it relates to the ocean resources and the fish and wildlife and snowpack. And so this is a case that all Oregonians should really pay attention to because it affects. This is a case that all Oregonians should pay attention to because it affects all of them and the future for the state.
So that was Mary Wood. She's a professor of law at the University of Oregon School of Law. Thank you very much for speaking with me, Mary.
Thank you so much.
David Barsamian will be speaking as a benefit for KBOO Community Radio Friday, May 13th at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. David is the host of Alternative Radio, now in its 30th year, and an award-winning investigative journalist. He will be speaking on one of the most critical issues we are faced with today, saving the planet that sustains us. Again, that's Friday, May 13th at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. All proceeds will benefit KBOO, your community radio station. Tickets and information for this event can be found at kboo.fm/Barsamian2016.
The time is 6 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, Portland, and welcome to Labor Radio. Today, April 11th, 2016. Tonight, we are going to be talking about Labor Notes Conference 2016 that happened in Chicago last weekend. I'm your host, Ann McDonald, here with co-host Fernando Gapacin. Hello, Fernando.
Hey.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Tonight's guests are Jeffrey Crosby, adjunct faculty in labor studies at UMass Boston, president of the North Shore Labor Council, and he's with